of the Lord stamped upon our lives. The devil is seeking to kill, to steal, and to destroy each and every one of us. So somebody in here ought to say, I've got to stay woke because I know the enemy of my soul is seeking to kill me. Somebody in this house has got to stay woke and understand that the devil is seeking to destroy each and every one of us. So I'm speaking to myself as I'm speaking to you today. I have got to stay woke. Praise God. Praise God. We have a lengthy setting of scripture today, and so I will ask you to stand back up again. And I'm going to have my husband read the scripture. It's going to be from Ezekiel chapter 47, and he's going to read verses 1 through 9.
Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the great northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters there were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh.
Praise God. The Bible says in John 7:38, it says, He that believeth on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I want to once again welcome all of our guests, and I hope that you will come back next week to hear our pastor preach. He's a powerful man of God. But today, with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to speak on the subject, follow the flow. Follow the flow, honey. Would you be able to pray over me?
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for what we feel in this house. We thank you, O God, that we are worshipers that come to worship you in spirit and in truth. And now, O God, you've allowed your servant, O God, to have the liberty to speak a word into our life. And we're believing, O God, that your word is already anointed. But now, again, we need our eyes and our ears and our hearts anointed to receive the word of the Lord. The mouthpiece of God is going forward, but you're going to speak through her. And we yield ourselves to your will. We ask it in Jesus' name.
You may be seated. Praise God. So the definition of flow, we're talking about following the flow. Somebody shout out loud, following the flow. The definition of flow is moving along or steadily, continuously in a current or in a stream. or to go from one place to another while in a stream. In other words, to be something continuously, to do something continuously in the midst of something in order to obtain something that you're looking forward to obtaining. So now we're going to examine Ezekiel. Let's talk about him for a brief moment here. Ezekiel's prophetic ministry began post-promised land. He was a prophet in the time of the children of Israel being in exile. His name means God strengthens. And when we look at the way that God used Ezekiel throughout the scripture, he absolutely needed God to strengthen him. Praise God. The prophecies of Ezekiel about the fall of Jerusalem, they were filled with a lot of symbolism. Some of them included him getting a clay tablet and getting that tablet and taking seeds on that tablet. Another one was when he had to lay on his side for 390 days for each year of Israel's sin and 40 days on the right side for each year of Judah's sin. He also had to bake a baked bread, and part of it was to be made with cow's dung, and he had to eat that. How many of y'all would have done that? I don't know. I'm glad that I'm born after grace. Praise God. Another thing that he had to do was he had a divine razor that was used by him for cutting up his hair into three parts, which symbolized that the people who would die of famine and disease in those cities. So now going back to our text, if we look a couple chapters before, Ezekiel had a vision of the glory of God filling the temple. And in this passage of scripture is a very powerful image of how God pours out his spirit and begins to fill a place. I want to read that verse. Ezekiel 43:4 says this, "As the glory of the Lord entered the temple by the gate facing east." Somebody say east. And verse 5 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple." So we see that the glory of the Lord entered into the temple eastward in the same way he flowed out of the east door. Praise God. So in the middle of our passage, we read about Ezekiel. Praise God. We read about his vision. And this is what we see, that same correlation. There was a vision, and he seen the temple door, and underneath the threshold of the door, the closed door, mind you, he sees water flowing underneath that door. Hallelujah. There was water flowing, and it's very significant because of the glory of God was flowing underneath a closed door. How many of y'all ever felt like you've been close to church? You had a relationship with God, but you still had a closed door. I want to tell somebody today, I don't care what door is closed before you, the glory of God can move on your behalf. There can be a flow of the Spirit. I don't care what door the devil closes. I don't care what door the world closes. If there's a little bit of crack, my God can get through in that thing. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus. The biblical scholar Clark says, he said, "The waters seem to have been at first in small quantity, for the words imply that they oozed or they dropped out. The water at first was so small that it came out drop by drop, and then it increased." In other words, it was a small trickle of water coming out of the temple door. Have you ever been in a position where you were seeking after God? You felt yourself praying and interceding, and you came to the house of God, and you were expecting exceedingly and abundantly. You were expecting God to move in a miraculous way, but all you began to see was small beginnings, and all you seen was a trickle, and it didn't look like what the promise sounded like, God, when you gave it to me. This is where Ezekiel is at right now. Ezekiel, in the scripture, he's being led by a man. Praise God. And I want us to understand, what did Ezekiel see exactly in this vision. The man leads him to outside the temple, and he sees this small trickle of water coming out. And then as they follow the trickle, they end up in the water, walking through the water. And the Bible says the water comes to their ankles. And then it says the water came to the knees. And then it said to the loins. And then it said it was over. You couldn't even pass it. So if I was to get a little bit of bottled water, and you imagine walking that way, 1,000 cubits. The cubic is about the side of the bottom of your elbow to the tip of your finger, so about 1,500 feet or something like that. So if I'm pouring just this little bit of water, do you expect that water to get up to your ankles with no other source flowing into it by the time you walk about 1,500 feet, yes or no? And then you walk another 1,500 feet or 1,000 cubits this way. And all of a sudden, the water is at your knees. The same little trickle, the same little flow. But miraculously, now that water is up to your knees. And then he progresses on. And all of a sudden, he cannot pass it. I think it's so absolutely amazing how God will take the natural inclination or process of a thing and turn it around so the miraculous hand of God can be seen working on our behalf. When we look through the scripture, we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They walked, they went into the fiery furnace and they lived. But the very people who threw them in that furnace was burned up because of the heat. We look at Daniel in the lion's den. He's in that lion's den. But the natural hunger and desire of the lion to take out flesh was reversed because of the power of God. And it's the same thing that we see in the scripture. The trickle of the water turns into a flow that you couldn't even imagine. Hear me when I'm talking to you today. Other people might see you at a dead-end job. But honey, I see a trickle. Other people might see you that have a failed attempt at writing your book. But I see a trickle. Other people might see you going back and forth in that relationship. But I see a trickle. Other people might see you broke, busted, and disgusted. But as you are following the flow of God, I'm telling you, under the authority of the Holy Ghost, I see a trickle. And when God gives a trickle, no devil in hell can take away the promises of God for your life. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah! The Bible says in Isaiah 43:19, it says, behold, somebody say behold. Come on, a little bit louder. Behold! It says, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a way in the wilderness and even rivers in the desert. Hallelujah. If you stick with God, I don't care what your wilderness looks like. I don't care what your desert looks like. I don't care what your hard time looks like or the struggle you're going through. God will make a river in the midst of your desert. Hallelujah! The verse says, shall you not know it? Shall you not know it? God is asking us the same question today. I know where you're at. I know what you're facing. I know your mindset. I know your secret struggles. I know that you cry yourself to sleep at night. I know it. But will you not be in step with my spirit? Will you not understand what I'm trying to do? It might look like a trickle. It might look like wilderness. It might look like a desert. Come on, somebody. It might look like your job is going bad. It may look like you've been betrayed by your friend. Oh, but now you know it. Can you trust in God through it all? Can you have faith that the river is coming? Come on, if you say yes to that, clap your hands unto God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Verse number 3 in our text says this. When the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, He measured that 1,000 cubits, and he brought me into the waters that were to the ankles, moving on to the knees, to the loins. And now at verse number 5, it says, afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Verse 3 says this, he brought me through. Come on, somebody. He brought me through the waters. He brought me through the waters. The river was not something for Ezekiel to just kind of look at or speculate or and be in awe of. The river was something for Ezekiel to be inside and to experience for himself. The Bible says in Psalms 38, verse number 34, verse number 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he that trusts in the name of the Lord. Listen, it doesn't say look and see. It doesn't say talk about it and see. It says all taste and see. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I'm going to slow down because I want to hit this point. Hallelujah. We begin to crave what we are accustomed to tasting. For years and years and years, I've drunk Starbucks. And I'm trying to cut that habit and drink coffee at home. But sometimes I'm drinking that coffee and I'm like, you know what? Not even that it tastes better. I'm just craving that because it's something that I'm accustomed to having. So if you're dabbling in the world, or if you use ways outside of the Word of God to deal with the things that you're going well through in your life, those are the things that you're going to be naturally inclined to go back to. You go back to the old ways that I got over. The old ways of drinking, smoking, sex, and cussing. Hallelujah, the old ways of calling my friends. The old ways of riding or dying. I want to ride or die with Jesus. I want to create a new taste in my mouth. I want to taste for the things of God. All taste and see that the Lord, he is good. All taste and see that the Lord, he is good. That's why the Bible says in John 6:35, it says, and Jesus said unto them, he said, I am the bread of life. It says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Praise God. When you are full of Jesus, when you are full of the Lord, when you have a healthy flow of the Holy Ghost in your life, it will knock the taste of the world out your life. All taste and see of the goodness of Jesus. You want to go back to the world. You won't want to go back to your old ways. You'll find yourself going through, falling down to your knees and saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. We need to evaluate how we handle stress. We need to evaluate how do I handle hard times. We need to evaluate, how do I handle devastation? I'm not going to do what I used to do. I'm not going to cry or complain or be stressed and depressed the way that I used to do. I have been empowered by the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get into the flow. I'm going to get into the presence of God. Listen to me. I'm not saying that we have to be perfect because none of us are perfect. We ain't him, right? I'm saying we need to know what to do when we're not perfect. We need to know what to do when we're not feeling it. We need to know what to do when life is throwing everything it can out of us. I don't know about you, but I've been in a place before. I'm so broken beyond imagine. And all I could do is just pour out to God in my spirit. The Bible says in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit, somebody say the Spirit. One more time, the Spirit. The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When we are weak, when we don't know exactly what to say or how to pray, God Himself, through the Holy Ghost, will begin to make intercession for us. Praying in the Spirit will enable us to communicate with God in a manner that does not limit us to our own knowledge or our own intellect or the way that we articulate things. So we need God to pray through us. That's why the song, "This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles." Y'all know it. "This is how I fight my battles." Let me hear you. One more time now. We fight our battles by seeking after the Lord. I'm going to break down this scripture a little bit more. It says that the waters were to the ankles. The river was as deep as Ezekiel's ankle. It was not very deep at all. That ankle deep water, when you first give your life to God, is that initial relief that I can feel His presence. Whenever we go to the beach and it's burning up hot, you know, and I just want to get my feet wet. Because when I get my feet wet, I can kind of feel all right. So you get your feet wet, right? But you can still walk out and still be dry at any time. Now it's okay to be in that shallow water for a little bit. But I don't know about you. I want to go deeper. I know that God has a little bit more for me. Ankle water is the bare minimum, and it feels good, but God has so much more for the people of God. It says, 1,000 more cubits, and the waters were to the knees. 1,000 more cubits, and the waters were to the loins. So He moved from the ankles to the knees to the loins. And at this point, most of us can be pretty comfortable in that water. You have the benefit, right, of being in the water. You also have the choice of remaining half dry if you want to. Hallelujah. At this point, you can sit in the water and look like or have the appearance that you're all in. But when things get a little bit comfortable, a little too much, you can stand up out of that water if you want to. Hallelujah. Being loin deep is great. Oh, but there's still so much more that God has for the people of God. We've got to go a little bit further. The Bible says in verse 5, afterward He measured 1,000 and the river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Oh God, when God puts His hands on the water can't do anything but rise up. The waters were waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed. Listen to me, the flow of water, it grew in volume. Gradually got deeper. See, the Lord led him step by step. There will be something about jumping into the water that you don't know of, but God, He takes us through the process. Listen to me about this water. There were no streams flowing into the water. This was the hand of God showing His miraculous power. Number 8 says this, "Then He said unto me, these waters issue out towards the east country and go down into the desert and go down into the sea, which being brought forth in the sea, the waters shall be healed." Ezekiel was being described by his guide the miraculous properties of this river. As the river flowed out of Jerusalem, then down into the Dead Sea, that's that sea, as you study the scriptures, those lifeless waters began to be healed. Let me give you a little bit of information about the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is one of the world's saltiest bodies of water. The Dead Sea is about 34% salt. The Dead Sea has 5 to 9 times more saline than seawater that we're accustomed to. So the deeper that you go in this Dead Sea, the saltier it gets. And rather than swim in this water, when people go in the water, they simply float up because of all of the minerals and salt. And the massive level of salt prevents any existence of all life forms. Yet, when the river flowed into the salty Dead Sea, the waters were healed. Listen to me right now. If you don't have a flow of the Holy Ghost, there are some areas and some people in your life that you can't help but to be salty with. There are some areas and some, you know what, let me say this a little bit differently. When I don't flow in the Holy Ghost, there's some people in my life, in some areas of my life that I can't help but to be salty with. There's some things in my life that I can't help but to be petty about when I'm not flowing in the Holy Ghost, because I can get petty with the best of them. Oh, but when the Spirit of God comes upon me and I begin to flow in the Holy Ghost, every petty thing gets out of my words, every petty thought out of my life, because I'm walking in the Holy Ghost and I want to be like Him. There's healing virtue that will renew my mind. Have you ever needed a mind renewal? You've just been through so many things and you face so many issues, and I come to church and I have to put on the mask like everything's okay, and y'all don't know what I'm facing in real life. And I know that Brother Barlow and Brother Haddock and all the leadership team, they're happy-go-lucky and they're dancing and they're shouting, but you don't know what I've been through this week. You don't know what I've faced. You don't know the hurt, the pain, and the burdens that I've carried all week long. Do you want me to come in here and jump and shout and jump right in? No, I need it at the ankles. Fill me up, God. There's healing in this river. I'm wanting to tell you. I'm trying to help you today. Those issues aren't going to go away. Those problems aren't going to go away. But with the flow, God can heal you. God can help you. God can make you stronger so that you can carry everything that you're facing in your life. Hallelujah. Verse number 9. There shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, and for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither or wherever the river cometh. Listen to me. As we continue to follow the flow of the Spirit, we will look at our proverbial Dead Seas, areas where we were hurt, areas where we were wounded, areas where we were broken, and we will let the river flow into our lives. And God will begin to heal from the inside out. He will begin to restore from the inside out. He's going to heal some brokenness. He's going to break some chains. I want us to know how to thrive in 2020. Because in the midst of a pandemic, we can still thrive. In the midst of uncertainty, we can still thrive. Hallelujah. There's no time for the people of God to walk around beat up by the devil when there's a dying world out there. There's no time for the people of God to walk around with anxiety, bound up with depression, stressed and depressed, when there's a dying world out there. They're looking to us. We can't walk around with our heads down. We need to walk in a place of power. Listen to me. They're depending on us. They're depending on us. We have the keys. We have the answer. So we need God to strengthen us so that we can walk as people that are doing the will of God. Many of us have experienced various emotions throughout this dark period. And I've talked to a lot of people, and fear is one of the number one things that is gripping the soul. Because when things are uncertain, we get uncomfortable around them. So we begin to fear the next step. But I want to encourage you yet again with the Word of God. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. I wish somebody would grab a hold of this Word today and say, I'm not called to walk in fear. I'm not called to walk in doubt. I'm not called to walk in my feelings. Oh, but God, I'm going to walk in power. Come on, somebody say, this Word is for me. I'm going to walk in power. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk in a sound mind. I'm going to walk knowing who I am. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am the child of the Most High God. I am forgiven. I am saved. I am set free by the power of God. And guess what, honey? I'm going to walk accordingly. Somebody ought to get a devil. Look at your devil sideways. Stretch it. Yeah, I know I have issues. What? I know who I am. Hallelujah. So how do we follow the flow in God? How do we get to that deep place where we trust God with our innermost thoughts, our vulnerable pains, the things that we don't even want to tell our spouses? How do we trust God with that? We need a relationship with Jesus that would carry us, that would sustain us. We need a flow of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to close right now. I'd like to ask you to stand. And I want you to bow your head and close your eyes, because I really want you to focus on this last bit that I'm saying today. The enemy has looked at each of us, and he's been working overtime to divide us, trying to divide the church, trying to divide your families, trying to cause confusion. He's trying to make us stumble. And if we fall, he wants to make sure that we stay down. Why? Because he knows that sin will separate us from the very presence of God. He wants us to wallow in guilt and shame so that we don't feel worthy to enter into the presence of God. He wants us to beat ourselves up over shortcomings so that we don't have strength to get into the presence of God. He is going full time. He wants us to get in the heat of a moment. And so there's no little wiggle room that in that argument all of a sudden you forget that the devil is trying to sneak in the atmosphere and you give into your flesh and you blow up. He's pulling for us. The enemy wants us to focus on that we've been through so much, and then now we've got to the house of God, and all we see is a trickle when we get home. We still see problems, and it may be that God might have moved a little bit. And when we got in prayer, we might have not seen any change. And the enemy wants us to focus on the little bit that's only happened. When we come to church, we know we have problems. We trust God. The enemy wants you to see what's not changing. He wants you to feel that you didn't feel better. You didn't look better. You've only had a trickle of a change. And for a moment, maybe you doubted God. Maybe you doubted the promise. Maybe you doubted that he could move on your behalf. Maybe you doubted the miracle could happen because it's been so long that you've been suffering with this thing. And you've been carrying it. And you've been carrying it. And you've been carrying it. And it seems heavy. And the enemy wants to remind you of the heaviness. But I'm here to remind you today that the Bible says, cast all your cares on the Lord. I'm here to remind you and encourage you with the Word of God that what you look like a trickle, what looks insignificant, will grow into a mighty river. We know that the trickle with God leads to greatness. Jesus says this in Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God wants you to know that if you flow in Him, if you walk in His Spirit, He will move like never before. It's not a race to get to the promises of God. It's a process, and each step of the process is needed. Being led by God, let Him fill you up so He can heal our minds and our wounds and our brokenness. The Bible says in John 15:7, if you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Church, Jesus is looking for somebody that will abide in Him. Jesus is looking for someone that will walk with Him and trust Him through the pain. But I'm just wanting to get to where the river is flowing. I'm wanting to get to a place where I can't trust in my ability to just stand up. But I'm so deep in this thing, God, that I just begin to float and swim. And I trust in You. As you abide in Him, your faith will be restored. As you abide in Him, your joy will be restored. As you abide in Him, your peace will be restored. As you abide in Him, change will begin to fall. We need to abide in Him to follow the flow. And as you feel comfortable, either at your seat or spaced out in these altars, I invite you to lift up your hands and pray. Lift up your voices, either at the altar or at your seat, and say, Jesus, I want to abide in You. Jesus! I want to abide in You. Come on, tell Him. I want to abide in You, Jesus. I've got to have You, Lord. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want my belly to be flowing with rivers of living water. Come on, cry out to God right now. I know it's been hard. I know it's been rough. I know it's been not easy, and You've been carrying a lot. But I'm telling You today, as You abide, come on, I want to abide in You, Jesus. I want to abide in You, Jesus. I want to abide in You, Jesus. Fill me up, God. I want to abide in You, Jesus, and walk in the Spirit. I want to abide in You, Jesus, and walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. Cry out to God. Come on, that's it. Cry out to God. Come on, that's it. Cry out to God. Oh, God, I need You. I'm making a choice today, God, to abide in You. I'm making a choice today, God, to flow, oh, God, in You. I need You, Jesus. Come on, that's it. He's moving. Come on, He's moving. He's moving. I'm yielding my will. I'm yielding who I am. So that I might abide. Come on. There's some in here that need to be healed. I invite you to come into the waters. There's some in here that have been having burdens you're carrying. I invite you to come into the water. To walk through the water.